Will the House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take final roll.
36 members present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Moss is excused from the call, but I'm happy to say he's here. Welcome back, Pappy.
I think the prayers of the House and the Buffaloes have been answered. The prayer today is by Vicar Daniel Schlewitz of the Resurrection Lutheran Church. Will members please rise for today's prayer?
Lord God, our country is a nation seeking answers. Answers for everything from what to do about our countrymen held hostage on a national level to what time it really is on a local level. But God, you are the author of all answers, and we pray that you be with the families of those 8 servicemen who died in the line of duty. Be with these representatives and help them as they seek answers for which direction the state of Alaska should go. Help them to remember those words, one nation under God. And Lord, we especially thank you for returning Pappy Moss to our midst. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd ask the prayer be spread in the journal.
No objection. Prayer will be spread in the journal.
Mr.
Record,
Speaker.
Please show that Representative Rogers is present. Representative Cotton.
Chairman at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. Come back to order. Later. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as to the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 103rd, 104th, and 105th days, House Supplement Number 55, and Joint House Senate Supplement Number 10.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 103rd, 104th, and 105th days, House Supplement Number 55, and Joint House Senate Supplement Number 10 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and the journal supplements will stand approved. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a guest to introduce. Actually, it's not exactly a guest as usual, but we have someone back in the House today after over a month away. I know on the Finance Committee we've missed him. We've missed him on the floor. Representative Pappy Moss is back with us today. We heard he was having some trouble, so we got this drive shaft bearing and support here. Something that we thought would help him out in the remainder of the session, I think now would be an appropriate time to give it to Pappy and for him to open it and take a look inside. From Delta.
There are further guests for introduction. Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce the woman who has taught me more about everything that a person needs to know and done more for me than anyone else, my mother, Adele Meekins.
Further guests for introduction. Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, I don't have really a guest, but I'd like to say that in Gallery A, there are two people who've helped me keep my spirit in these halls, my staff, Linda Harris and Hallie Denton. And I'd just like to introduce them, not as guests, but as members of the body that's helped me stay here while I've been gone.
Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed House Joint Resolution number 58, urging Congress to appropriate money for the construction of the Dog Bay Boat Harbor with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 58, urging Congress to appropriate money for the construction of the Dog Bay Boat Harbor Project, SD 966 Kodiak Harbor, Alaska, and transmitting for consideration. This has been placed on each member's desk. The Senate has approved the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Recognizing Alaska Certified Professional Secretaries, honoring Hispanic Community of Alaska, honoring John R. Henry, Rusty Smith, and Jeff Kuehler, in memoriam, Dr. A.S. Wally Wolkowski. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Joint Resolution number 39 by Bradley, Dankworth, Fahrenkamp, Hackney, and Kelly, relating to America's small and independent businesses.
Commerce.
Senate Bill number 58 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act relating to the uniform disposition of community property rights at death.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill number 482 by Holman and Rohde, an act appropriating to the Denali Recreational Area Commission and providing for an effective date.
Resources and finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
May I revert to introduction of guests for a short moment?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Brown.
Speaker, in Gallery A, we have a rather unusual creature from Fairbanks. It's a realtor who is a Democrat, Mr. Barry Brown. He's down here to talk to us about loans, and I think he's talked to quite a few people already, so be warned, he's going to be seeing you soon.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
The Committee on Finance has had House Concurrent Resolution 35 relating to a study of a rail line from Fairbanks to the Ladue Valley under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a State Affairs Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 35 and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Schaefer, Guy, McKinnon, Smith, and Rogers. House Concurrent Resolution number 35 has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Bill 178 relating to fees for certificates of fitness under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 178 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Hurlburt, Chairman, concurred in by Hurlburt, Miller, McKinnon, and Hayes. Rogers has no recommendation.
Representative Miles. House, please stand. Please come back. House, please come back to order. Reports of standing committees.
House Bill 178 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 413 relating to establishment of the Alaska State Climate Program and Alaska State Climate Center under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 413 and reports it back with individual recommendations and a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing due pass, Freeman, Schaefer, McKinnon, and Rogers. Having no recommendation, Guy, Haugen, and Smith. House Bill 413 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 687, establishing the Alaska Energy Center, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 687 and recommends it do pass and attaches two fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Schaefer, Rogers, McKinnon, Smith, Meekins, and Duncan. Haugen has no recommendation. House Bill 687 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 784, maximum length of salmon net vessels, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 784 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, Jaroff, Osterbach, and Miles. House Bill 784 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 927, designating programs and activities for review and termination under AS 4466, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 927 and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurring by Freeman, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Haugen, and Guy. Schaefer has no recommendation. House Bill 927 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance is at House Bill 957, Capital Improvement Program and Budget Recommendations under the Executive Budget Act, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurring by Freeman, Schaefer, Haugen, Rogers, Smith, and McKinnon. House Bill 957 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 962, allowing credits against fisheries taxes, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 962 Finance and reports it back with individual recommendations and fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing due pass, Freeman, McKinnon, Rogers, and Haugen, having no recommendations, Smith, Schaefer, and Guy. House Bill 962 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 1002, a special appropriation to the Fisheries Business Tax Donation Fund in the Department of Revenue, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 1002 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing due pass, Freeman, McKinnon, Haugen, and Schaefer. No recommendations, Smith, Rogers, and Guy. House Bill 1002 has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Bill 1011, Second Injury Fund established under the Alaska Workers' Compensation Act, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 1011 and reports it back due pass and recommends that it be further referred to the Finance Committee. The report was signed by Mr. Hurlburt, Chairman, signing due pass, Hurlburt, Rogers, Miller, and McKinnon. Having no recommendation, Hayes. House Bill 1011 has no further referral.
House Bill 1011 will be referred to the Finance Committee. This time I'd also like to add a finance referral to Senate Bill 438. This is the energy conservation bill. It does have a substantial fiscal note. It's presently in the Rules Committee. Will be referred to Finance Committee.
I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Nathan Lewis by Representative Zharoff. House Concurrent Resolution Number 68 by the State Affairs Committee relating to a study of the enforcement of child support enforcement orders.
Finance.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Mr. Speaker,
may I have a brief of these, please?
House Police Standees. Please come back to order. Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 1027 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the State Commission for Human Rights and repealing statutes which duplicate or are similar to the statutes relating to the State Commission for Human Rights.
Judiciary.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This time I'd like to waive the resources referral for House Bill 981. This is a bill relating to an advisory vote on state ownership of public lands. Has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. House Bill 981. Brings us to consideration of the deadly calendar. The House, please stand. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, there's an item on the calendar that we'd like to move back to Rules Committee for further study. I've reviewed the bill, and there are further technical amendments that weren't attended to, and I have some very serious problems with them. The other thing that I've discovered is that there's about a $48 or $43 million fiscal note that we have to take a look at. And so at this time, I move that committee substitute for House Bill number 354 be referred to Rules Committee.
Is there objection to the motion? There's no objection. House Bill 354 will be referred back to the Rules Committee. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 932 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, an act creating the Office of Rural Development and the Rural Development Council and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 932 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 932 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Barnes, Carney, and Metcalf, or Parker, Branson, Carney, and Metcalf. Parr has no recommendation. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 932 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 932 Finance and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing do pass, Freeman, Schaefer, Guy, and Duncan. Signing no recommendation, Montgomery and McKinnon. Signing do not pass, Smith. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 932 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. Finance Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Representative Moss. House Police Entities. Will the House please come back to order? Is there an objection maintained to the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute? There's no objection. The Finance Committee substitute is adopted. Is there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker, not on my desk.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 932 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill number 932 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 932 Finance by the Finance Committee. An act creating the Office of Rural Development and the Rural Development Council and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 932. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
27 yeas, 9 nays.
House Bill number 932 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to the roll call and the passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 932 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, the roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call and the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 49 by Eliason, Freeman, Haugen, and Gardner, relating to a change in office hours in state offices as an alternative to a time change. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Concurrent Resolution 49 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 49 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing do pass, Barnes, Phillips, and Parr. Signing no recommendation, O'Connell, Martin, and Brown. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask that Judiciary Committee substitute for, I move and ask unanimous consent that Judiciary Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 49 be adopted in lieu of the original resolution.
There's no objection. Judiciary Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 49 will be adopted in lieu of the original resolution. Are there amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read the First Amendment.
Amendment number one by Mr. Martin. Page one, line 17, add, whereas flexible working hours are desirable to provide better service to the public, such as evenings, noon, and weekends.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There's objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the body might note, I put no recommendation on this, mostly because I thought the major emphasis of this resolution should be changed. You know, it's the first four whereas all have to do with the convenience of the employees, and it seems to make it a nice rosy garden for them. And they do give some justification because there's a difference in time zones, and that's reasonable. But I think the prime purpose of any flexible hours or the prime purpose of any government is service to the people. And therefore, I think this last whereas is should be the most desirable one to provide better service to the public. So on that, Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent.
Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Could the clerk read the amendment again, please?
Will the clerk please read the amendment again?
Amendment number one by Mr. Martin. Page one, line 17, add, whereas flexible working hours are desirable to provide better service to the public, such as evenings, noon, and weekends.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, apparently Mr. Martin didn't read the first whereas. It is desirable to improve communication between state offices in Juneau and offices and the public in other regions of the state. Now, that's the opening statement, and I think that that very well explains that it's for the benefit of the public as well as the state employees. I'm sure Mr. Martin inadvertently overlooked that.
Representative Martin.
No, sir, I didn't inadvertently overlook that. I thought that was very mildly put. I just wanted something a little stronger.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I don't really think the amendment adds much. I guess what it's doing is saying, maybe putting us on the side of God, home, and motherhood, and by saying that the state offices ought to be open, you know, 168 hours a week. I think what it might ignore is the fact that even state employees have to have some time off, and that you know, you don't necessarily have to have them work on Sunday. Just and furthermore, that you know, if they probably did, that there probably wouldn't be anybody coming in to see them. I don't really think the amendment adds anything to the bill.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The intent of this is not to have state employees to overwork. Lord knows they're far from that now. I think the average state employee right now works 32 and a half hours a week, plus all kinds of vacations and stuff. Now, when we talked about this in the committee, we were talking about 4-day working weeks, and that was nice because I thought, well, maybe in the evenings that the citizens who were working during a normal 8-hour day could then spend the last 2 hours at a government office trying to get the services they need. And Mr. Speaker and ladies and gentlemen, this has been a problem with me ever since I came to Alaska with the U.S. Public Health Service. I was appalled at the average state worker who relied on the citizens in the first place for needing services, who were so demanding that the average citizen, a lady who needed health care, an older gentleman who had a menial job, had to quit their work to go and meet a nurse or meet someone else during their regular hours. They were not flexible enough. Well, at that time, we made it quite clear with the Public Health Service, we'd literally stopped the funding to the state and to the city of Anchorage until they changed their hours to meet the needs of the people. And I think that if we request in the notes rather than or an employee rather than work, say, during the day on Thursday, they could work that evening with clinics. Take the Gamble Street. Many of us here know the Gamble Social Services. They let the people come in at 9 o'clock. If you're not in at 9 o'clock, that door is locked. That's it. So we have a herd of people inside the Gamble Street Center needing all kinds of services. At 12 noon, they are literally shoved out. Or a little more politely, they're told to get out, and they lock the doors again. At 1:15, the doors open again. In the meantime, the staff is going wherever they wanted to. At 4:30, the doors are locked. And they're treated like cattle back and forth. The staff knows that they can better treat the people if they would have flexible time. Some take a late lunch hour, some take an early lunch hour. Some would want to rather work on the evenings when the pace is much better and much more humane. A lot of them would rather take Monday off and work Saturdays. So this is what I mean in providing better hours of service to the public rather than, say, working Saturdays and Sundays and maybe 60 or 70 hours a week. Only private citizens are supposed to do that.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, again, I'm sure Mr. Martin inadvertently made a mistake when he said that the average state employee works 32 and a half hours a week. I believe they work 37 and a half hours a week. So just for your information.
That was a mistake.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I agree with most of the conclusions of the first, not the second speaker from Eagle River, I probably agree with all of the conclusions of the second speaker from Eagle River, but Mr. Speaker, at least on this issue. But Mr. Speaker, I think, let's put it this way, you could say all legislators are dishonest and stupid. Well, that's an interesting statement. Besides being in violation of our rules, it also doesn't bear any relationship to reality. Such generalizations are worthless. And I have the same view of the kind of generalizations that the former speaker from Eagle River provided with regard to public employees. There are public employees who may be guilty of the kinds of things he was describing. I'm also familiar with public employees who are working 11, 12 hours a day and not getting paid overtime in the state troopers and at the division head level and slightly below it, including the mother of my two nieces, as a matter of fact. And I think that such generalizations don't contribute to debate. And also, I agree with the second speaker from Eagle River that the wishes of the first speaker from Eagle River are already taken care of in the resolution.
Question for the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay.
No.
I think the nays have it. Amendment Number 1 is not adopted. Are there? The House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 49 is in final passage. Is there debate on the resolution? Question for the House, final passage of House Concurrent Resolution Number 49. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Randolph. Are there other members? Clerk may take final roll.
30 yeas, 5 nays.
House Concurrent Resolution 49 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, brief at ease.
House, please stand. The House, please come back to order. Clerk, please read the first citation.
Citation honoring Karen Klosterman by Representative Miles.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that all members of the House be shown in sponsors.
There's no objection. All members of the House will be shown as sponsors. Representative Hayes, do you wish to move the citation? There's no objection, citation will be adopted. Clerk, please read the next citation.
Citation honoring Bob Jones by Representative Cotton.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask unanimous consent that the other members of the District 8 delegation be shown as co-sponsors on this and the next citation, and I'd ask that both be adopted.
There's no objection, the members will be District 8 members will be shown as co-sponsors on those two citations. That would be Halford, Martin, Cotton, and Phillips. For those two citations, is there any objection to the adoption of the two citations? There's no objection, the citations are adopted. Clerk, please read the last citation.
Citation in memoriam J. Vincent Kruskovich by Representative Cotton.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that my name be shown as a co-sponsor on the citation in memory of Joe Kruskovich.
There's no objection. Representative Carney will be shown as co-sponsor. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the citation.
There's no objection. The citation will be adopted. Brings us to unfinished business. Are there any items of unfinished business come before the House? The House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, in members' limbo packet, they should have a resolution, House Joint Resolution Number 58. Was amended by the Senate. I've spoken to the original sponsor, Representative Zaroff. He assures me that the amendment made to the to the resolution improves the bill and suggests that we adopt the Senate amendment. So at this time, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendment to House Joint Resolution Number 58, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 58, and ask members to vote yes.
Clerk, please read the resolution by title.
Senate Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 58 by the State Affairs Committee, urging Congress to appropriate money for the construction of the Dog Bay Boat Harbor Project, SD 966, Kodiak Harbor, Alaska.
The question before the House, the adoption of the Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution Number 58. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
30 yeas, 2 nays.
The House has adopted Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution Number 58. Further items of unfinished business. Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I give notice of reconsideration on House Bill 932.
Your notice of reconsideration is noted. Other items unfinished business. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the co-chairman of the Resources Committee has asked me to announce that the Gas Line Committee will be meeting today at 2 p.m. to review the Alpetco contract, and that Resources will be meeting tonight at 7 p.m. To mark up the unitization legislation.
The meeting of the Gas Line Committee will be in Courtroom A at 2 o'clock. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring this announcement not just to the attention of the Commerce Committee members, but I think the Judiciary members, because of the performance review of the Human Rights Commission, may be also interested in the subject matter. Also, Mr. Miller has asked Mr. Parker to look in on behalf of State Affairs, and the members, particularly with constituents in the Cook Inlet area, may be interested, but the subject matter may result in an even broader view than that. Mr. Speaker, immediately upon adjournment, the House Commerce Committee will be hearing from the investigator that has been retained with regard to allegations of sexual discrimination on hiring on oil rigs in the Cook Inlet and other related allegations of discrimination, which also involve the performance, lack of it, or whatever, of the Human Rights Commission. And I think that members might want to be there. Also, it may be that the members of the Finance Committee that are concerned with that portion of the budget with regard to the Human Rights Commission may also wish to be there. And then tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, the House Commerce Committee will be hearing Committee Substitute Senate Bill 112, Corporate Dissolutions.
Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On your announcements, we had planned to vote this morning on the election code revision free conference report, but Mr. Parr found an error in the draft, so we'll get that straightened out and put on tomorrow. We'll have Patty Ann Polly, the Director of Elections, in your office again tomorrow morning between 9 and 10 for those who want to consult with her.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon, 1:30, House Heads will work on House Bill 125, Youth Centers.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary, I'll meet at 3 this afternoon. Have House Bill 981, an advisory vote on the D2 lands, and House Bill 933, advisory vote, Alaska Statehood Act Amendment. House Bill 792, access to adoption records, and House Bill 984, Alaska Bar Association. Also, House Bill 183, public disclosure of contractors and contracts.
The further announcements, Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to draw your attention to the announcement of the reception tonight for Colonel Roberts, Representative Byrne, myself, for inviting you to a no-host cocktail. Ain't no such thing as a free drink. I had an opportunity yesterday to meet Colonel Roberts and visit with him, and I'm impressed. The guy's an extremely knowledgeable fellow who has some has done some good work around the country, and I think you, those of you who would like to get a little different or a little deeper perspective on that subject, he's chairman of the Committee to Restore the Constitution, and an extremely interesting fellow, and I'm sure invite you to come up and have a drink with us. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, Finance Committee will meet at 1:30. Under consideration, House Bill 754, Power Project Revolving Fund, House Bill 629, Community Schools, House Bill 672, Appropriation Department of Education for Adult Basic Education, and Senate Bill 228, Excise Tax on Booze.
Representative Miles, you've already been announced.
I understand it, Mr. Speaker. Can we revert to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Miles.
Gallery B, a constituent of mine, Ethel Carls, and she's sitting with friends from North from Boise, Idaho, Mr. and Mrs. Don Orcutt.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, under introduction of guests in Gallery A, Mark Lewis, who's the city manager from the city of Valdez.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, State Affairs Committee will try one last time to deal with House Bill 996, parking requirements at construction sites at 1:30. I will ask members to try to be there fairly promptly. I don't think it'll take very long if we get a quorum.
Further announcements, special orders. Representative Brown.
Oh, just under announcements, I wanted to say it was 68 degrees and sunny in Fairbanks yesterday.
I wish it was like that when I was there last time. Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to make a few comments?
Representative Moss.
Last year, for the first time, I stood on this floor, and my first speech to this body, I began by saying a short poem I'd written the night before. I said that I stood before you and did fear no one would lend me an ear. Today I stand before you with tears in my eyes, because all you members, parties three, had a hand in the Lord hearing my plea to stand again before all of thee and say not with jest that I think you all are the best. May I say further that I want to thank you and all the wonderful Alaskans throughout this great state who prayed, sent me flowers and notes of encouragement during my past few weeks of pain and frustration, frustrated in not being able to be with you in body as in spirit while you continued on with the labors of guiding this great state to its rightful place as the greatest state in the nation. And I've had time to reflect and think about the people of this great state who elected us to make this come true. I don't think there has been a single one in this body who's not tried to do this better than in any other state, and in the federal government either, for that matter. We may have erred a time or two, but I feel that all of you, like I feel in my heart, no, we have tried to do a good job in these halls for our folks back home. And Mr. Speaker, I want to say thanks to all you veterans for the things you've allowed this old freshman to get away with. Fact of business, I learned a couple of good lessons from you, but one of them I might mention. I'm really just a soft-hearted old country boy myself, and the biggest lesson I learned from you is that there are a lot of you who are just old, soft-hearted country folk, too. I try to do your best for the folks back home. Mr. Speaker, thank you for allowing me the time to give my thanks from the bottom of my heart to each and every one of these and other Alaskans for their kindness, understanding, and help these past few weeks that I have not been here with you in body. I think you know that my heart and my spirit was here with you as you've labored at it, and I think you've done a tremendous job. And thank you again for allowing me to speak to you.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to address a question to the chairman of the Free Conference Committee on House Bill 2 through you, if I may.
Representative Branson.
Yes, on page 89, I'd like to know what is false factual information?
I think Representative Parker has taken it under advisement. There are further special orders. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. The House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.